kiss prove my love is true. On my rocking bicycle that's built for two. We don't care if we live out of date. We don't care if we're a little bit late. Gonna make a scene, baby, me and you. On my rocking bicycle that's built for two. We don't care, we don't mind. If we don't be in front, we'll be right behind. We don't care if they laugh at us. They can have a Cadillac and T-Bud too, but give me my rocking bicycle for two. Ain't got a Cadillac or a big old mobile. I'm just a little guy. If we don't be in front, we'll be right behind. We don't care if they laugh at us. Let them take the bus and give the sickle to us. They can have the Cadillac and T-Bud too, but give me my rocking bicycle for two.
That's a little Fats Domino. You are listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio, WXOJLP 103.3 FM in Northampton. I'm your host, Ruthie Woodring. And I have a live guest in the studio today.
Hello.
I was alerted that we are allowed to have live guests now. We got a plexiglass window between us. We got masks. So, Kat Alonzo Bodziak, thanks for coming in today.
You're welcome.
Kat and I are friends from around town, and we got here on our bicycle built for two, but not quite a tandem.
I felt like I was on a kiddie ride at the amusement park.
Kat's got some crushed bones, so the bicycle built for two was my bike plus a bike trailer.
Yeah, I got run over by a bike.
But yeah. Wait, how long ago was that now?
September, I was working with a houseless person, and we were all going downhill. We were going downhill, and all of a sudden, I was on the ground, and I couldn't get back up and found out that I had broken my shoulder, separated my wrist, and broke my pelvis. And, yeah, it's been taking a lot longer than I expected. I had no idea, but it's just kind of ironic, but yes, so I haven't been able to do much. Been in the house a lot and not on my bicycle, which is driving me insane. But other than that, it's kind of a blessing in disguise because it forced me to ask for help and slow down and do some things that I wouldn't normally do. However, I haven't been able to work for a very long time, which is hard. Other than that, peace out. I don't know.
So Kat and I don't know how long have we known each other? I don't know, 10 or 15 years?
Yeah,
something like that. Yeah. And recently, one of your projects has been. Can you describe some of the work that you've been doing?
So first of all, Ruthie is a rock star in my book, and I was just, I don't know, just sitting around trying to think about if I was going to stay in Northampton, I would have to do something. I couldn't just keep going down the street and seeing my friends sleeping on the sidewalks in the park, knowing that they were camping in the woods, and not do anything about it. So my only idea initially was to just sit on the city hall steps with a bucket and a sign, trying to raise money for a drop-in center, and unaware that there were other people who are actually trying to do the same thing, which is awesome. And then Ruthie just passed by one day and said, "Kat, do you want that rickshaw still?" And I was like, "A rickshaw?" And I ran like a little hyperactive boy down the sidewalk, and I was like, "Oh my god!" And it was this big bike camper, and I just hopped up and down and hopped up and down, and I was like, "I know exactly what I want to do." And within minutes, I had already formulated my first sit-in at City Hall, which was paint the bike camper sit-in, and just use it as an opportunity to network with people in the community and do something positive to build bridges and just communicate. And it was basically just hanging out and asking people to paint the bike camper and engage people in conversation. And I was astounded at how much people responded to it. I really didn't expect anyone to actually be there or show up or walk, just even approach me and the group I was with. And it just became this thing. And then it was just amazing. It was amazing.
When did you take the rickshaw to City Hall the first time?
It was, my birthday's on Columbus Day. I'm going to reference this vaguely because I don't want to get into this political topic right now, but I'm Native American and my birthday's on Columbus Day. So I said, I'm doing this for my birthday. And I was still broken up pretty much, my hip and everything. So I was just kind of like, Alex Jarrett's partner, Sarah was willing to ride the bike into town for me. And there were all these people there, and it was really heartwarming. And so that was October 11th, the first one. And I stayed for probably about 7 hours, and people were dropping off donations of food and clothing and things like that. That was really amazing. And then I actually met this 12-year-old girl, Ella. It's the only conversation that I remember from that day. It was almost a 45-minute conversation. And this little girl was like, "We just moved here from Brooklyn, and we used to step over homeless people on the street." And they were just amazing. And I remember saying to her after we talked for a while, I was like, "You're amazing." I was like, "Your parents must be very proud of you. I would be proud of you if I was your parent." And I was like, "I was just like you when I was 12. And if I ever had a daughter, I would want her to be just like you." And then she just gave me this big hug. And it was amazing. But then after that, I remember sitting in town one day, after I was walking a little bit more, my back hurt and my legs hurt. Against my physical therapist's orders, I took a walk and was tired and sat. And this woman came up to me and was like, "Are you okay?" And I said, "Yeah, I'm just tired. I'm resting." And we were near City Hall. And I said some vague thing about a sit-in at City Hall or something. And she said, "Are you Kat?" And I said, "How did you know?" And she's like, "I just had a feeling. My daughter Ella's been talking about you ever since that day."
Wow.
And we were both just amazed and dumbfounded. And just, we ended up talking for a while too. I was like, "This is incredible. What are the odds that the one person that approaches me on the street is going to be the mom of the girl who I was so impressed by?" And I was like, "Now I know why your daughter's so amazing. Because you're amazing." Yeah. You know, it was just really cool. So that's what happened. From a lot of situations like that came up afterwards where I just started meeting people who remembered, and somebody was like, "You should do another one." So I was like, "Okay." Little Buddha will ride the next wave and see what happens. And then I did one on Halloween, and that one I had to do by myself, but it went well too. It was difficult, but
so you took the rickshaw back.
Yeah, I took the rickshaw on my shoulder and carried it into town. And I'm not a martyr. And it was not a religious pilgrimage, but it felt like one. Because I promised somebody that I would do it in the houseless community, that I would be there. And so I said, "I have to do this." It felt really important for me to keep my promise. So I carried it into town, bawling all the way to... But it was worth it, again, because the things that resulted from that were so amazing and heartwarming that I was just like, and it's like, you know, I just started communicating and with people in the community, and people were bringing clothing and shoes and blankets and all kinds of stuff for like camping and food. It was just amazing. And then I don't even remember how I got it home, actually. Oh yeah, I do now. Okay, yeah.
How did you get it home?
Oh, my friend from Touch the Sky. I had a houseless friend get in the trunk of my friend's car and wrap the rope around his arm against her wishes. I said, "Just do it. I'm not leaving the camper here." And they just, my house is very close. So they just carried it up the hill and the back of the car and brought it home for me.
Wow, so if people haven't seen the rickshaw.
It's big.
It's got the rickshaw, the chariot, the bike camper. It was made a couple years ago by some couch surfing friends of mine from France. Constructed out of black locust poles that they split and carved down with a draw knife and bicycle parts. It's like, it's got two wheels. Imagine a giant bike trailer made out of wood and about 7.5 feet tall with an arched blue tarp structure on top of bamboo. It's like, it's about 14 feet long and 7 feet tall. It's got two wheels in the back and you can lift up the front handles and walk, run with it like a rickshaw, like a like a pulling, you know, a rickshaw puller would pull it. Or you can tie that back part to a bicycle
to your bike.
And also haul it like a bike trailer. And it was made to sleep four inside. Mm-hmm. Well, one adult and three small children. So it's kind of like a house on wheels.
That's pretty awesome. But,
yeah, and then like the blue tarp, the covering of it,
it's
that covered
canvas,
wagon
right?
sort of structure. It's just it's like a tablecloth material maybe. From the Goodwill, but that covered wagon sort of fabric structure, that's really good for painting on. So what did you said people painted it, people decorated it?
Well, what I would do is I just wanted to engage the community, and I thought, well, what better way than have them paint the caravan? You know, so I just put paints out with a sign my friend Mac made, a big banner saying housing is a human right. So then people were just coming up and I would invite them to take some paints or chalk or markers or whatever and just either sign their name or paint something or draw something. And it's beautiful. I mean, yeah. One side of it needs to be, I'm inviting people to come on Thanksgiving if you're around and help paint the other side because it's a little bit, it needs some help on the other side, but it's really beautiful. And so, yeah, now that's part of it. I just wanted people to come in and just, I would ask people to stop and paint it. And often people were really, especially parents with their kids or young students were often the ones who would stop and be like, this is really cool. You know, thanks for doing this, you know? And so I had all of these people just signing it and putting paintings on it. And it was just really, 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 really cool. And I don't know, I was just really inspired by it. And it was just something that I decided within minutes when I saw Ruthie with the camper. I was like, I know exactly what I'm going to do now.
Yeah, when I told you that I was looking for a new home for the rickshaw, and you said, sure, I'll take it. And I was like, but Kat, you haven't even seen it. And and I was like, you're in for something,
know.
I'm telling you. And then when I pulled up, I was like, oh gosh, Kat's probably either going to love it or hate it. And you loved it.
God.
I was like, yes, it's got a new home.
I am also the poster child for ADHD, by the way, in case you haven't noticed. If you know me, you know this is true. So I was just very excited, and my mind works at the speed of light. So I was just like, know what I'm doing. All right, I'm done. Like, I've already got it. And I was like, that's what I'm going to do. And it's people see me. I call myself the warrior ant because I seem random. At one point during COVID, I got really, really depressed and I was totally isolated. And I was like watching ants. I was dropping breadcrumbs and watching them walk around. And I was trying to redirect them into an easier, shorter path. And I said, and they would always go back to the original path and just take the longest, most intricate way back home. But they would always bring the breadcrumbs back to their community. And I was like, dang it, that's me. I'm just like an ant, you know. On the surface, people are just like, what in the world is Kat doing now, you know? But in the end, it just seems to work out somehow, you know, because I trust my heart, you know, and don't overthink things. It just feels right. It felt right to just be in community with people and do something engaging because people want engagement and something positive, you know? And it's not a protest. It's just a sit-in where I welcome people to visit anytime and be really awesome to get some support around it. So
can you say a little bit more about Thanksgiving, when, where, how can people join?
Well, I'm going to do my best to get there at noon.
It's City Hall, downtown Northampton.
If Ruthie helps, then I'll definitely get there at noon. But I won't have to carry it by myself this time. And I'm probably going to stay till about 4 o'clock. And, or whatever feels right.
Yeah.
Whatever. Yeah. And I'm telling people, you can stop and visit, you can hang out, and you can, you know, come and go or stay. It's just totally open. It'd be really nice to just, I'm not sure how to explain it. Oh, I'm also asking for, on Thanksgiving, it's going to be near City Hall. Last time I was blocking the City Hall steps, and Smiles was on the steps and got upset because they couldn't see. So I don't want to block their view and upset them. So I'm going to pull it back a little, but it's going to be right near City Hall. And I'm going to be asking for people to bring, like, I'll probably be hungry. And I'm asking for thermals, warm socks, blankets, anything like that that's warmth-inducing would be nice and appreciated.
Yeah.
So
what happened? What did you do with the donations that you've gotten in the previous times?
Everyone just used them right away. Yeah. I mean, my houseless friends were telling me, because I was just kind of standing there freezing. They said, this is for you. Take this jacket. Take these boots. You know, take these mittens. You know, use this. It's okay. Because I may be houseless too soon because I'm behind on my rent. Blah, blah, blah. So, and I was homeless when I was a little kid too often. So I have a real soft spot for that situation. I don't want to really get into that about me. But, yeah, I just want people to just stop by and take pictures and share it on the internet and share it with friends. It's just sort of like a way to sort of bridge the gaps between us right now. And that's what I want to see, just network and share the information. And just, I'm also welcoming people to share ideas. I need a lot of input and information, and the kind of support I'm really looking for right now is people sharing their ideas and suggestions, because I'm just on a limb mostly, and I don't get any financial donations. I don't take any money from anyone. I'm just doing this because it just feels like the right thing to do. So any kind of a donation that you want to help with that's tangible, any support or ideas in terms of community members, if you have, whoever's out there who happens to hear this, if you're in politics or just feel free to call me. I'm going to leave a number. It's not my home phone number, but I'll leave a number and you can call me at some point and give me suggestions.
Do you want to leave that now?
Yeah, the number is 413-270-4440.
And
that's Kat Alonzo.
Yeah. Kat Alonzo, you're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. I'm your host, Ruthie Woodring, and I'm here talking with Kat Alonzo Wozniak, about their work with the bike camper and houseless issues in Northampton. So the event Thursday, Thanksgiving Day, is going to be around noon to around 4 in front of City Hall in downtown Northampton. Come out, say hi. It sounds like a lot of it is just to like to bridge gaps between people, and especially during time of COVID, this is a thing to do, to come outside and break the isolation.
Yes, exactly. And it matters. When I would see the responses from people, I mean, some people were scared and just sort of like, they don't want to touch the flyer. I was like, that's okay. You can wipe it down with some hand sanitizer. But it's just, I saw it in, especially in younger folks who are probably bored to death right now, just wanting something to engage with, and having them paint the camper, such a simple task. I didn't realize how effective that would be in terms of like creating a conversation with people, because you don't have to say much. It's really simple. It's not that complicated. It's like, hey, do you want to paint the bike camper? Oh, that's cool. And then they go paint the bike camper, and I hand them a flyer, and that's about it, you know, and it's just simple.
Cool. All right. Well, I'm going to play Fisher Z, The Worker, recommended by Kat.
Sleep.
You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. I'm your host, Ruthie Woodring. I've been talking with Kat Alonzo-Bociak about their work with the houselessness issues and the rickshaw bike trailer. Anyway, Kat's live in the studio with me today, and we'll have more discussion later. But now I'm going to play a little clip from Alex Jarrett, who's Ward 5 city councilor. Also happens to be my housemate. This clip is from last Tuesday, but I think it's probably still pretty accurate.
I'm here in the kitchen with my housemate and 5th Ward City Councilor, Alex Jarrett, in Florence, Massachusetts. How's it going, Councilor?
It's going all right. Thanks for checking in. I feel like the election and knowing the results of that, even though not everything came out how we wanted locally or nationally, I feel like it has been taking up so much of my brain space, just worrying about it, thinking about it, and also some time, you know, making phone calls and things like that. So it's kind of good to have that. But then just as you think, okay, that's behind now, then all these other things start coming into the fore.
What kind of phone calls and things were you making coming up to the election?
I made calls in Maine and in North Carolina to support candidates there for Senate and president. It was interesting. I mean, I'm glad I did it, and I had some great calls, and then some times where it was just, you know, you're not reaching anyone, or you're reaching people who are mad that you're calling. There was a whole great group of volunteers that I did that with, and so it was a great thing to do.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because I was in Kentucky for the month leading up to the election with Mitch McConnell and Amy McGrath being the Senate contest there. And my dad, he's a registered Democrat, and he got so many calls from volunteers on behalf of the Amy McGrath campaign, like 3 a day. Like, he quit answering his phone like a month before the election.
Yeah, I worry about some of that backfiring. I mean, some people who talked to me said, I was going to vote Democrat, but now that I've gotten all these harassing calls, I won't. And so you tell people that. I don't know if that's true or just bluffing, yeah. But hopefully people make their decisions based on their, you know, actual informed, rather than just how many people are calling them.
Yeah, I think it's great that people are making the calls, I hope that the technology can catch up, or the record keeping can catch up, so the campaigns can know whether or not someone's been called and whatever. Anyway, but so moving on, you need to check the quesadillas.
Oh, no.
Okay. So back to the 5th Ward and local stuff. What's been going on here since the last couple of weeks for you?
First, in Northampton, generally, I'm on the Northampton Policing Review Commission, and I'm specifically on the Alternatives to Policing Committee. And so we are looking at what services that the police presently provide or are tasked to do, just because there's no one else left to do them, that could be better provided by others, by other groups, and so thinking about it on a spectrum of, on one end, you know, we have that the police could do something, and then the other we have that something like volunteer groups, peer-led support, and then in the middle we have municipal operations that don't involve the police. An example is having a mental health clinician and an EMT or respond to mental health events, mental health issues that people are having. And there's a number of examples around the country of this, that some of which have been going for quite a while and are quite successful. And so we're hearing from a lot of people about, well, you know, what services, how much the police should be or shouldn't be involved in particular things, we're continuing the conversation this Wednesday from 6:30 to 8. And we have the first half hour set aside for public comment, although we haven't even been getting a half hour of public comment lately. And then the rest is we'll be discussing mental health issues, and then also looking at addiction and domestic violence. I think another issue too, I can't remember.
Do you feel like, is there the energy there to create these new programs or structures to move them forward, do you think?
Well, there's a lot of energy in the community, and the mayor has committed to, you know, he established this commission, and he wants to make data-driven decisions. And I think that this commission will show that there is plenty of data that these programs are more effective, sometimes costing less, and have better outcomes for everyone. The question I think is how much money will we be able to move out of the police? How much will be able to be found elsewhere? Are there grants? Because there's also the question of kind of what's the minimum safe staffing of policing. And you get a lot of different answers depending on who you talk to. So trying to get data on that is important.
Mm-hmm. Do you know how people in the police department are feeling about these different proposals, ideas?
Well, I know they felt really bad about the cut that we made in June, that was really hard. And the chief is very willing to work with the commission and on things. I think there is a strong sense that I think there's agreement that the police are tasked with too much. And, you know, there were editorials back in June from former police officers who talked about, yes, they want change. They love the idea of different people who are better trained in particular areas to respond to those types of events. Yeah. It's hard to when you have a particular way of going about things and have an institution and it's your job, it's hard to think about reducing that.
Yeah, I'm sure they wouldn't mind not having to respond to some of the domestic calls.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Anything else, anything about like housing or anything else going on that you want to share about?
Sure, yeah. Well, there's a lot going on in housing in general. Some proposals are coming through the planning department around allowing two dwelling units on a lot. And currently, in a lot of areas of town, two units. So two dwelling units are allowed in one building, and with certain limitations allowed as a accessory dwelling unit or a detached unit. And this would make it that it would kind of remove some of those limitations and just allow for two separate buildings on the lot, assuming all of the setbacks and require other open space requirements and such were met. Mm-hmm. So that's moving forward. And I think that will allow for more flexible like housing production. Right now, if you want to create like a accessory dwelling unit, it has to be owner occupied, one of the units. And that means if you're going to sell the house, then you have this limitation that essentially it has to be sold to someone who's going to live in one of the two units. Uh-huh. Which is, I mean, I like that idea, but on the other hand, it's limiting people from creating housing, even housing that will go to be rented. And we need all of that. There's been a lot of concern in the Bay State Village neighborhood, especially about some new houses being built and houses being existing houses being torn down to make room for them. And it's hard to know the exact condition of the houses that are being torn down, but the sense is that they're not in terrible shape, that they actually could be renovated, and that they're being torn down just because in order to fit more houses, because they're like in the wrong place, or, mm-hmm. you know, and to fit more houses in. And so that's concerning. I don't like to see the waste that's involved in a demolition. There are so many people who would be interested in buying houses that need fixing up for a lower price and putting in that sweat equity and being able to afford a house because they're willing to do that work. But the developers pay in cash, and so a lot of people just, that's the easiest thing to do. They know they're guaranteed to get the money. They don't have to worry about mortgages falling through. But for anyone who can, I really encourage sellers to be more active in understanding who is buying. I think the real estate industry tries to separate the sellers and the buyers and just keep it about money. And I think it really needs to be much more about kind of a legacy that you want to leave in a community when you're selling the house. And if you can give an opportunity to people who can't get in the door because developers have the cash, then that's a great thing to do. So, and there are other ways in which you can actually put a deed restriction that would prevent the demolition for a certain amount of time, things of that nature. Potentially you'll get slightly less money, but it could keep kind of the worst of the situation out. But and that's on kind of one side, and then on the other is that we really need more housing available. Mm-hmm. And if that housing isn't, we're seeing already a tremendous increase in prices because people want to live here, I think especially even more because of COVID times, where people are leaving cities and have the money to really jack up the prices. So not allowing for more housing means that those prices are just even higher. And there's a whole bunch more we need to do as well to make sure to create affordable housing. And that's not typically happening in new construction because the cost of construction is so high unless it's subsidized. So that's just a tiny peek into the world.
Awesome. Thanks. Maybe I can interview you more later when I plan ahead better. I'm here in the kitchen with my housemate and fifth ward.
Where am I? What's Alex going here? On? Oh, sorry about that. You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. That was an interview with Alex Jarrett, fifth ward city councilor in Florence, in Northampton. This is WXOJLP 103.3 FM in Northampton and streaming online at valleyfreeradio.org. I'm here doing Out There every Tuesday from 3 until 4, probably until the end of December, followed by Madness Radio up Tuesdays at 4. I was talking earlier in the hour with Kat Alonzo Bodziak, my live guests, and talking about houselessness and the bike trailer and Kat's presence downtown with the bike, the bike camper.
Yeah, I call it a caravan.
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 Hey, hang on, I got you. I got your mic off. What'd you say?
I said I kept calling it a caravan, or because it reminded me of an Old West.
Oh, absolutely, it's like a covered wagon.
Yeah, a covered wagon. Yeah. That's what it reminds me of.
Yeah,
totally.
Yeah. Well, I'm gonna play Shakira and La Bicicleta because Kat and I both love bikes, and then we're gonna talk more about this. The upcoming Thanksgiving Day in 2 days. Kat's gonna be in front of City Hall again.
Hopefully with my bike.
No voy a perder tu manera es complicado. En una bici que te lleve a todos lados.
Un vallenato desesperado.
Una cartica que yo guardo donde te escribí. Que te sueñe que te quiero tanto.
Carlos Vives and Shakira. You're listening to Out There. I'm Valley.
That was my cane. That was my cane. My hair stood up in that moment. Oh my God.
Oh. Out There on Valley Free Radio. I got a live guest. Got a live guest in the studio.
Live wire. I just popped out another gray hair in that moment. Oh my God.
It's Kat Alonso Bodziak is here with me. I'm your host, Ruthie Woodring, but Kat and I have been here for the 3 to 4 hour. Kat and I know each other from around the streets of Northampton and Florence.
Cheers.
And Kat's been talking this hour about their work with the bike camper rickshaw and trying to address houselessness in Northampton. Kat, you are also a artist and poet, and is there a poem that you can share with the listeners?
Yes. I didn't know I had this, but it is on my Facebook page.
What's your Facebook page?
It's just my name.
Kat.
Oh, it's Kat Bodziak, Bodziak. Hit me up. It's entertaining. Yes, it is. I'm totally public. I have nothing to hide, no money, no secrets.
And there's pictures of the past two times this fall when you've taken the bike camper rickshaw to City Hall.
Yeah, there's tons of pictures, and I'm getting a lot of support around it on Facebook anyways, so I ask people if they come by, just take some pictures and share it on Facebook or share it with your friends. Like, because it's just cool. It's nice to see something positive happening for a change. I'm tired of arguing and fighting. Just want a day where people can just relax into the moment and just kind of be there. And that's what I want anyways. I don't know if that's going to happen, but it's okay if it doesn't. I'm going to be there anyways.
Yeah, so we'll come to the poem in a minute, but you're going to be there Thanksgiving Day, day after tomorrow, Thursday, from like noon to four in front of City Hall in Northampton. Yep. So we were talking a little bit off air about the vibe, and you're saying it's not a protest. It's like, what is the vibe, or what are your
like? I was telling these people that wanted to come with me on Thanksgiving, they were a little nervous, and because I made some silly joke, and I was like, no, it's not a protest. You're not going to get arrested. It's supposed to be positive, and we're just going to be there and invite people to paint the camper. I said, it's as simple as that. We don't need to complicate it with a lot of politics or anything. I do that enough on my own. And so it's just a moment for people to just be present and engage community in a really simple task, like painting a bike camper. And it's amazing how something that simple can open up so many doors. People seem to respond to that because it's not so complicated. It's not loaded with hidden agendas or personal politics. It's just about saying hello to people, inviting them to paint the bike camper. It sounds really simplistic and kind of naive, but it's really, really not. It's actually really important. So that's how I feel anyways about it, but
yeah,
I'm biased in that way.
Yeah, well, thanks for sharing your creativity in that way, to just like be out in public and invite people in to converse or engage in a common thing.
And then I just wanted to give a shout out to Touch the Sky also, because they helped me with the first sit-in and helped organize a lot of it. And without them, I don't think I could have done as much as I had done in that day. But yeah, they helped a lot, and I just wanted to give a shout-out to them, because they also had a similar agenda, which I didn't even know, because when I met them, I said, I'm going to sit with a bucket and a sign and just try to raise money for a drop-in center, and they were like, that's what we want to do, and I was like, you're kidding me. So it was just really cool to meet people who had a similar goal, and they're actually working on it currently and making strides, so wish them luck with that, getting the space for a drop-in center. Mm. And yeah, I just wanted to give a shout out.
Yeah. So if people come on Thanksgiving, what can they bring?
I'm asking for the same things that I would need if I were out. I'm preparing to be homeless. It's horrible. Thermals, warm socks, like warm socks.
Wool.
And
wool socks.
Blankets. If you can afford to bring a sleeping bag, I could use one actually too. So, whatever you think is going to be helpful. Somebody brought some camping gear that was really cool. Like you can clean, like you can filter water.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
And you can, there was like emergency warming blankets and stuff like that, you know. So that was really cool. That was a very generous gift, actually. And they brought shoes and boots, brand new boots for the, and just handed them out to folks. And everybody was really cool and cooperative, like, sharing, is this your size, and they come up to me and they're like, these boots look like they would fit you, you should take these. And I actually really needed waterproof boots and was hesitant, but my friend was like, take it, you know, just take it. So now I have warm boots, which is nice. So
About the interactions with the police, how has that been?
Also, the funniest thing was when the cops were going by and pointing, I thought they were pointing in an accusatory way at me. And my street friend was like, no, Kat, they're giving you a thumbs up. I thought I was going to get in trouble. It got defensive. And they were like, no, they're giving you thumbs up. And then I actually got some positive feedback from the police department about thanking me for what I was doing. So as much as we don't want to talk about that situation, you know, I'm trying to, you know, get allies for the people that I work with, and anyone who wants to help out, I'm more than willing to talk with.
Yeah.
That's about it.
No matter what they're wearing.
I may not agree with the politics around it. We won't get into that. But, like, I know that, you know, when I was homeless as a kid, often
we would like sit in front of the gas stove, and I'd go to school with my hair frozen and no shoes, no coat, no nothing. So I know what it's like. So.
Mm-hmm. So you got a poem. You got a poem that you want to share?
Oh, yeah. I don't like being in public. It's funny. I don't like being visible, but I'm very visible now. And I don't do spoken word very often. But this is not in public. So I don't have a title. It's untitled. I just shared it. I make poems up like really quickly on Facebook and I just send them out. So it starts with, cannot feel safe, sleeping hurt. Bike camper is going to be my standby. I'm going to send y'all a quick made up poem right now. I send my heart its contour shaped like Milky Ways, constellation just out of reach. We teach each other in fractal silence. Violence, my education. Limitation is real. Still, I feel so much. No COVID touch. Words misleading. Actions creating microbursts. In silence, my rehearsal sad, but necessary for building me. Growing up, learning by observation. My autistic brain, a nation unto itself. I am real. Blood, sinew, flesh, soul. I told you. I kept explaining. No alternative remaining except total liberation. My nation is built by warrior ants, truth. You don't mean a thing, just everything. Singing from somewhere I used to know, one act play, a familiar show. I know, I know, I know, I know, you do too. The roof is on fire, the river is deep. I can't sleep, astral, I keep notes. Hoping I will get to compare them someday with someone like me. We met in a dream, remember? Peace, cat.
Wow. Thank you. Thanks for sharing that.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I like it. I like it.
You're welcome.
So I just want to encourage people again. Come by Thanksgiving. Come by Thursday. Should people bring anything to eat on the spot?
They can do whatever they want.
Oh, right. This COVID. Maybe
it's like a no judgment, come as you are zone.
All right.
Whatever you're comfortable with.
All right. Well.
You could bring me some turkey and mashed potatoes.
I can't think of anything else to say.
Me neither.
Well, thanks for listening to Out There today. I'm Ruthie Woodring and Kat Alonzo Bodziak.
Thank you, Ruthie. Bikes forever.
Bikes forever, yep. I guess we'll go out with some Kate Bush cloud busting.
Ooh, yay.
Madness Radio is up at 4, followed by Democracy Now at 5. And let me look at this schedule. What is today? Tuesday. 5 to 6 is Democracy Now. 6 to 7 is the Enviro Show. 7 to 8, Farm to Fork, etc. Twilight's Poetry Pub is on tonight from 8 to 9. Thanks for listening to Out There. If you want a show on Valley Free Radio, check out our website and the programmer application. And
peace out!
Peace out! Here's, Kate Bush.
I still dream.